Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this day is the opening verses of the appointed gospel reading from Luke chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That one day when Jesus was praying was one of those days as Jesus was traveling with his disciples southward toward Jerusalem. He knew, and he'd already told his disciples, what would happen to him when he got there. He'd be betrayed by one of his own disciples. He'd be arrested and mistreated. He would be lied about and laughed at. He would be unjustly tried, and he would be executed with the most painful, brutal, humiliating form of execution ever invented. And then 3 days later would rise again. So he knew what was ahead of him. And perhaps it's because he knew what was ahead of him that Jesus took some time out on that journey southward to pray. Jesus had shown himself to his disciples many times to be a man of prayer. It was a habit well known to them that periodically Jesus would seek out solitary times and solitary places to converse with his Father in heaven. Jesus prayed privately, apart from company. He also prayed in public, as on the day of the feeding of the 5,000, when he gave thanks to God, when loaves were put into his hands, and the same with the fish. And his disciples marveled at the ease, at the ease at which Jesus was able to enter into intimate, holy conversation with God. So they asked him on this day, "Lord, teach us to pray." Perhaps they were remembering another day some some weeks ago when Jesus had prayed. On that occasion, when he was praying, he took Peter and James and John along with him to the top of a hill. And there, as he was praying, conversing with God, he was miraculously transfigured. His face started to shine like the sun. His clothes became dazzlingly white. There appeared with him in glory Moses and Elijah, Old Testament men of prayer and faith. And a voice from heaven thundered out and said of this Jesus, "This is my son, the one I love." So when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they knew who they were addressing, one loved by God, who had publicly from heaven approved his ministry. The disciples knew Jesus. They knew that he was loved of God. They knew that he'd been sent on holy mission from God. a mission to seek and save the lost. They knew that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die there for the sin of the world. And they knew that this was God's plan from the beginning of the world. And it's knowing Jesus, knowing who he was and what he was about, knowing his heart because he'd revealed it to them, knowing his mind because he'd shared it with them, that they asked him this day, "Lord, teach us to pray, to go to the Father, to enter into holy conversation, because we know that we need connectedness to God. We need opportunities to address to him the innermost fears and hopes of our hearts, to take to him our guilt to be unburdened, to take to him our weakness to be strengthened, to take to him our sin to be forgiven." And in answer, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, for we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Jesus knew his disciples, and he knew the times in which he lived, that they were evil times, that death was an ever-present reality. Abraham, generations before, had known the same thing, that he lived in a world fallen into grievous wickedness. He knew that he was himself responsible for evil and wickedness. The Old Testament leaves us in no doubt about Abraham's own sinfulness. And yet Abraham was not afraid of God, knowing his own sinfulness. Rather, on the day when he was conversing with God, he entered into holy conversation in the certainty that God had already promised to him descendants more numerous than the sands on the seashore, more numerous than the stars in the heaven, and had already promised that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So knowing both his own sinfulness and the promise of God, Abraham entered into a conversation with his maker. Conversation about Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities so wicked that the outcry against them had reached heaven itself. God didn't wait for Abraham to ask. God said, "If I find 50 righteous people in those cities, I won't destroy them." Abraham said, "What if they're only 45? If it's a difference of 5, only 5, surely you won't destroy it." God said, "No, if there are 45 there, a difference of only 5, I won't destroy it." Abraham said, "What about 40? What if there are only 40 there? And God said, for the sake of 40, I won't destroy it. Abraham said, now that I've been so bold as to ask this much of you, what about 35? What if there are only 35 there? And God said, for the sake of 35, I will withhold destruction from this place. Abraham, encouraged in his faith, bold unto God, said, what if there are only 20 there? And then 15, and then 10. By analogy of faith, we know that the conversation went on to the point where God said, if there is one righteous, friends, we have one righteous. A descendant of Abraham, one of those long promised of God, whose name is Jesus. His guiltlessness, his innocence, his righteousness, his holiness before God is our certainty that when we also enter into holy conversation with God, our prayers will be heard and received. We may be confident in calling out to God in Jesus' name because we know that God has already approved Jesus, has already acknowledged him as the beloved Son, has already raised him from the dead, and seated him at his own right hand in heaven. We are really in no different position today than Abraham was in generations ago, or than the disciples were in when they were with Jesus. Like them, we know that we live in a world fallen into sin, and that evil and wickedness are all around us. The truth is, in these times in which we live, it's impossible to ignore the reality of death and destruction. Yesterday in Afghanistan, 80 were killed. Suicide bomber. Day before that, 9 in Munich. By a troubled kid who was fixated on mass murders. This morning, as we speak, Hurricane Darby is bearing down on Hawaii, and that state has been placed under a state of emergency by its governor. And while it's raining and blowing too much in Hawaii, it's burning in California. Wildfire raging outside of Los Angeles, city on edge. Death is all around us. So, my friends, when evil increases, to whom shall we go? But to God. The God to whom Jesus went with prayer. The God Jesus directed his disciples to address as Father. Oh, what joy there is in that title, Father. It bespeaks relationship, a relationship that God established with us in the beginning when he created us and made us to be his own. A relationship he renewed in the waters of holy baptism when he placed his name on us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what joy was ours at our early service this morning to witness this miracle of new birth and adoption into the holy name of God administered to another. It is to Jesus that we go. knowing that for his sake alone, God is determined to bless and save. His whole heart is inclined toward us, and his whole will is disposed to do good to us, because Jesus went to Jerusalem and to a cross, and there took into himself all of the world's wickedness, all of its evils, all of its violence and destruction, took it all into himself in order to win for us a Father's favor and the delight of his heart. And then, having died, bearing the burden of our sin, making us righteousness with his righteousness, making us holy with his holiness, making us innocent with his innocence, Jesus also rose from the dead, set one foot in front of another, and walked out of a tomb back into a world filled with sin and death as an agent of God's mercy. And Jesus commissions us today to do the very same. Having called on God in prayer to set one foot in front of another and to leave this place and this holy moment and this holy conversation in order to stride out into a world that desperately needs the innocence and the perfection and the grace and the compassion of Jesus. And that we may go out confidently and boldly, Jesus promises us today that he will go with us. That was the baptismal promise spoken to 34-year-old Trace Atlin Vineyard this morning. And surely, I will be with you. To the very end of the age, no matter how evil it gets, I will be with you. I, the beloved of God, in whom is forgiveness, in whom is life, in whom heaven's door is opened, I will be with you. With my power, with my peace, with my life, with my name, I will be with you. Well, friends, if Jesus is with us, if he is for us, then no wickedness can overcome us. No evil defeat us. No tomb hold us in. That's the power of holy conversation. In Christ, amen.